And welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. How much time do you spend thinking about the food that you eat? If it's something you can easily afford, perhaps not very much. But according to a recent report from the Food Research Action Center called Food Hardship in America, nearly one in four Utah families say they've experienced times when they don't have enough money to feed their family and their children. What public policies have led to this problem? How can it be fixed? And what community efforts are underway to help out? Joining me now in the studio are Gina Cornia, Executive Director of Utahns Against Hunger. Gina, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
We're also glad to have Mike Evans, the Associate Director, who's here to talk about a new youth farm project that the organization is starting. Mike, it's good to have you as well.
Thanks a lot. Happy to be here.
Gina, give us a few more of the specifics regarding this latest report about hunger in Utah. What picture does it give us of the state as a whole, do you think?
Well, I think that it really emphasizes how much families are struggling, even in, you know, while we are seeing some economic recovery, that there are just more and more households who are struggling to make ends meet. And what distinguishes this report from a lot of the data, specifically the USDA data that comes out in the fall, mm-hmm. is that this shows you food hardship in households without children and households with children. And clearly what the data shows is that households with children are just far more vulnerable to making ends, you know, not being able to make ends meet.
Do you think this indicates that hunger in Utah has gone up? Is there a trend that we can observe from the most recent report?
Well, the data that FRAC has been doing, Food Research and Action Center, is a fairly new report, and they started to do it because the data that they were getting from USDA was a little dated. And so Gallup has been gathering this newer data, or the more recent data. So we haven't had a really good insight into what food insecurity and food hardship looks like in households with children. There's been some, you know, Feeding America and USDA and a bunch of folks, you know, do hunger data, mm-hmm. but this is the most comprehensive data that we've seen for some time. Some of the indicators that we look at when we're looking at, you know, is food insecurity or food hardship increasing, we look at participation in the food stamp program and the number of people going to emergency food pantries and participation in school meal programs. All of those have been increasing at really just a dramatic rate. If you look at food stamps, for example, since 2007, the number of households who are accessing food stamps in Utah has gone up 116%. Mm-hmm. And 58% of those households are households with kids. So, and which is higher than the national average. The national average is about 50% of households with kids. So Utah, we have a lot of kids. And yeah. and so it stands to reason that those households that are accessing food stamps also have more kids.
And so is this mainly a product of the recession, or do you think there have been changes in public policy that have gotten us here as well?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think it's largely due to the recession. Mm-hmm. But I think sort of standing behind that is people being able to access programs, which, you know, for example, being able to get jobs and being able to access education, and also the kinds of policies that may create barriers for people to access programs. One of the things that you know we're really encouraged by is the Department of Workforce Services, who administers the food stamp program, has really tried to make it a lot easier to make these to make food stamps specifically more accessible, which I think is part of why we've had such an increase. But it just coincides with the recession. One of the things that we would like to see happen in terms of policy is a lot of states mandate school breakfast if the kids in a school, say 40% of them, access school lunch at free or reduced price. That school mm-hmm. would be mandated to offer breakfast. We don't have any sort of mandate or any sort of requirement that schools offer school breakfast, and we have the lowest school breakfast participation in the country. Only one in three kids who access lunch at free or reduced price also access breakfast. We'd like to think that all those kids are accessing breakfast at home, but we know that they're not. And I think that policymakers, school administrators, teachers, parents have to make breakfast a priority, making sure that their kids go to school ready to learn. And as we can see from this data, we have a lot of kids who are in households that are struggling, you know, to put any food on the table, let alone, you know, getting a really good breakfast before they go to school.
So overall, you would say then that there are some areas that Utah is performing well and some where you think there does need to be improvement?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think that making federal nutrition programs a priority and making sure that all low-income families have access to them, and whether those families choose to participate in those programs obviously is up to them. But I think them knowing that the program is available, that they're eligible, then they can make an informed choice as to whether or not they should participate, you know, whether they want their families to participate. But federal nutrition programs, I mean, they work. We don't need a new program to, you know, to help fill these gaps. The programs that exist work well. They, you know, there could be some improvements in the quality of food and some other things, but for the most part, they work, and, you know, we just need to make sure that families know they're eligible or they're potentially eligible and get them to apply.
And Gina, what is your focus on right now when it comes to federal policy, especially given the, you know, super committee that was just created to cut another $1 trillion from the budget, the trillions that have been cut already as well? What is your focus and your concern at this point?
Our focus going from here forward, and really as the super committee starts making recommendations, is to make sure that our congressional delegation, that our state elected officials, and that the public really understands what's at risk if these safety net programs are cut drastically. For example, if you look at this data that just came out, it has food hardship rates by congressional district. So we can go to Representative Matheson and say 1 in 5 kids in your district live in a household where they struggle to have enough to eat. And these programs that you have oversight over are important, and so they need to be protected from cuts that the super committee is likely to recommend. And then looking even further, going into the farm bill, making sure that the nutrition programs that are in the farm bill are protected and that the integrity of those programs, that they don't change them so drastically that there are fewer people who are eligible or that funding is drastically cut, because the private sector just cannot meet the demand of the number of people who need food help.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Gina Cornia, Executive Director of Utahns Against Hunger. We're also joined in the studio by Associate Director Mike Evans. And Mike, shifting topics here, tell us about the Real Food Rising project there at Utahns Against Hunger.
So the Real Food Rising is a program that we're just in the planning stages and hoping to pilot next year. Utahns Against Hunger does mostly indirect service policy work, but historically we've done more work in the community and gardening programs and so forth. And so now we're getting back to our roots a little bit, so to speak. We're going to have a high school age youth farming program that's going to employ a number of high schoolers. In our pilot year next year, it'll be 10 to 15 high schoolers that will work in the summertime growing food for the community. About 30 to 40% of the harvest, the produce that we harvest, will be taken to hunger relief and donated, and our kids will bag it up and pass it out to the clients, and they'll of course take some food home that will coincide with our nutrition and our cooking classes, and the rest will sell, partnering with the city to find low income area where we can sell our produce, our organically grown produce, for less than organic prices, and then also selling some at the downtown farmers markets. So over the course of the next 3 years, we're going to be scaling up, starting on a small piece of land this next year. And it's really a program that is about empowerment, teaching young people leadership skills, teaching them about growing food and self-sufficiency, and about community service. So getting them to think about where their food comes from and healthy eating.
And so have you already secured the property then? And how difficult was that as a nonprofit, you know, to do financially?
Yes. Well, we're still in the process of raising money for the program and still talking to both the county and the city about pieces of land. We feel like we're getting closer, and hopefully this fall we'll be able to sign a lease on a piece of land. It's really great that Salt Lake County and Salt Lake City have these urban farming initiatives. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of interest to both the city and the county and other community partners about a program like this. But it is hard because this is a program that where we'll pay the young people. We're growing food, so we have many clients, the people who eat our food and our kids. And so we're in the process of applying for grants, and that we'll have some fundraisers coming up. So we're really hoping to grow the program. It's really a community farming program, and we're going to need a lot of help to get this started.
And so I would imagine these are at-risk youth. You'll be having the program. How do you find them?
Yeah, so we've been partnering with the city, the school district, and individual schools. So this past year, I've been going around and doing focus groups with the youth employability services, with different classes around the city, with the Mestizo Arts and Activism Club. So I've spoken with over 130 kids, getting their feedback on the program structure that I've put together and tweaking the model accordingly. And so there are a lot of teachers and kids already interested. So it's bringing kids together from different backgrounds. So about 60 to 70% of the kids in the program will be kids from underserved areas, mm-hmm. but 30 to 40% will be kids from more privilege. And so it's also an anti-discrimination program, bringing kids together to work across the beds from each other, mm-hmm. harvesting food and getting it to people in need and learning about the differences that divide us, in society.
And Mike, how large an impact do you foresee this project having? Do you eventually seeing it expanded to accommodate many more youth?
Yes. So the pilot year, as I said, will start with 10 or 15 young people. I'm hoping that in year two, we'll be up to 30 kids. Mm-hmm. And depending on the community need and interest and our ability to raise money for the program and to generate our own revenue through sales of produce and et cetera, we'd like to expand it further. And so we're still trying to figure out, will we go up past 30 young people? So there are kids who work for us in the program, but there are also other opportunities for people who don't get hired to work in the program to come to the farm on volunteer days. Adults can come on volunteer days. We'll have field trips so teachers can bring their classes or after-school groups mm-hmm. to get a tour of the farm, an educational tour of the farm, and learn about nutrition and growing food. So there'll be lots of ways for the community to get involved.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Mike Evans and Gina Cornea with Utahns Against Hunger. Gina, I want to come back to you now and what you were talking about earlier with talking to your elected officials about, the data regarding hunger in their own districts. What has been your experience in talking with Utah's elected officials in the past, both on a legislative and federal level?
Well, it's always a challenge when, you're competing with, for their attention over the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of issues that they're dealing with. Our federal delegation, particularly Senator Hatch and Senator Bennett, when he was in office, were very responsive, and they were always really supportive of child nutrition programs and making sure that vulnerable kids, had access to programs that really make a difference. We have not had the opportunity to meet directly with Senator Lee since he was elected. I did meet with him briefly before the election, before he was in office. And he was, he was not as responsive as I would like to have had him be. I think that he really believes that these kinds of services should be under state control and delivered on a local level through charitable organizations, which, we would like to live in a world where there wasn't any need for any of these services mm-hmm. and that people had enough money to, to buy their own food. And as we've seen over the last, just this last 6 weeks or so, the Utah Food Bank has put out a media alert that, they're running out of food and they could be out of food as early as the end of August. And that's because of some federal budget cuts and some corporate food donations that have been cut down because of efficiencies in the corporate food world, and that individual donors are down. And so, if emergency food follows the trend of the economy and donations go down when the economy is down, it just can't respond to the need. And that is really the beauty of the food stamp program and other federal nutrition programs, is that they can grow with the need. In terms of our House members, Representative Matheson has always been really supportive and is always willing to talk to us. And, you know, we haven't developed as much of a relationship with Representative Chaffetz and Representative Bishop. They both have amazing staff, and they're always very responsive and, you know, don't often agree with our point of view, but they're always willing to talk to us. And on a state level, you know, it's, you know, there's a different story for every legislator. And, you know, what's really great on the state legislative level is they do support funding for emergency food pantries. I mean, it's a small amount of money, but, you know, when other programs that they have jurisdiction over have seen cuts, the funding for emergency food has not. And so, you know, in that way, they've been very supportive.
And finally, Gina, you were talking about how Senator Lee feels on some level this should be dealt with locally and by charitable organizations as well. In a conservative state like Utah, where, you know, the general attitude seems to be that child nutrition, for example, is primarily a parental responsibility. It's your responsibility as a parent to make sure your kids are eating healthy and not eating junk, and to make sure that, you know, you're providing food for them as well. Is that one of the chief challenges of your organization, do you think, is changing that viewpoint to some extent to make it more of a societal responsibility than rather just the individual parent?
Absolutely. That is the response that we get from both sides of the aisle at our state legislature, and that is primarily, you know, that's what the role of a parent is. They should be feeding their kids breakfast before they come to school, which of course they should. But if they do not have the resources to buy breakfast cereal and milk, which is unthinkable for a lot of people, they don't believe that people can't afford that. And if you go to an emergency food pantry, you're not going to get a whole set of groceries that you're not going to go, like, you pick out at the grocery store. And I think, we invest a lot of money into education, and we talk a lot about how we need to increase, you know, education on the per pupil spending. But if you have 1 in 3 kids who are sitting in the classroom who haven't eaten breakfast, it doesn't matter how small of a class size you have, and it doesn't matter how much money you're spending per student. If those kids are hungry, they're not ready to learn. And that is a public policy issue that everyone should care about, because if we have a well-educated kids, they're going to go on and do better and get better jobs. And, you know, nutrition is critical to the success of kids in school. And if they're hungry, if the best meal that they had was the day before eating lunch at school, I don't think any of us should be okay with that. And if the parents can't afford to do it because gas is going up, utilities are going up, or they've just lost their job, or they've just run out of unemployment, that we should all care about that. And the role that federal nutrition programs can play is to help fill those gaps for those families.
And finally, Gina, we were talking about your urban farming project here in Salt Lake City. Do you know how it generally breaks down when it comes to food hardship in urban versus rural Utah? Is one worse than the other, or not really?
No, not really. I mean, when you look at poverty rates, I mean, there are definitely, you know, some differences in rural versus urban. But when you look at food hardship, and when you look at participation in free and reduced price meals and food stamp increases, it's across the board. There isn't one county that stands out as worse or better. There are families in every single county in this state who are hurting and trying to feed their kids.
We've been joined in the studio by Gina Cornea, Executive Director of Utahns Against Hunger. Gina, it's been great having you.
Thank you.
And Mike Evans, Associate Director of Utahns Against Hunger. Great to have you as well.
Thanks so much.
This is Politics Up Close on NPR Utah, KCBW.